she said when she was further down the track. There was a long pause before Oates replied. "I can easily get another," he said levelly. "Must be hard not having your book of words." "It's only paper." "I shall ask the king to see about getting you another book of words."
"I wouldn't trouble him."
"Terrible thing to burn all them words, though."
"The worthwhile ones don't burn."
"You're not too stupid for all that you wear a funny hat," said Granny.
"I know when I'm being pushed, Mistress Weatherwax."
"Well done."
They walked on in silence. A shower of hail bounced off Granny's pointy hat and Oates's wide brim. Then Granny said,
"It's no good you trying to make me believe in Om, though."
"Om forbid that I should try, Mistress Weatherwax. I haven't even given you a pamphlet, have I?"
"No, but you're trying to make me think, ooh, what a nice young man, his God must be something special if nice young men like him helps old ladies like me, aren't you?"
"No."
"Really? Well, it's not working. People you can believe in sometimes, but not gods. And I'll tell you this, Mr. Oates," he sighed.
"Yes?"
She turned to face him, suddenly alive. "It'd be as well for you if I didn't believe," she said, prodding him with a sharp finger. "This Om. Anyone seen him?"
"It is said 3,000 people witnessed his manifestation at the great temple when he made the covenant with the prophet Brutha and saved him from death by torture on the Iron Turtle.
But I bet that now they're arguing about what they actually saw, eh?"
"Well, indeed, yes, there are, many opinions."
"Right, right. That's people for you. Now, if I'd seen him, really there, really alive, it'd be in me like a fever. If I thought there was some God who really did care two hoots about people, who watched them like a father and cared for them like a mother, well, you wouldn't catch me saying things like, 'Ooh, there are two sides to every question, and we must respect other people's beliefs.' You wouldn't find me just being generally nice in the hope that it'd all turn out right in the end. Not if that flame was burning in me like an unforgiving sword. And I did say burning, Mr. Oates, because that's what it'd be. You say that you people don't burn folk and sacrifice people anymore, but that's what true faith would mean, you see? Sacrificing your own life, one day at a time, to the flame, declaring the truth of it, working for it, breathing the soul of it. That's religion. Anything else is just being nice, and a way of keeping in touch with the neighbours."
She relaxed slightly and went on in a quieter voice.
"Anyway, that's what I'd be, if I really believed. And I don't think that's fashionable right now, because it seems that if you seize evil now, you have to wring your hands and say, 'Oh, dearie me, we must debate this.' That's my two pennyworth, Mr. Oates. You be happy to let things lie. Don't chase faith, because you'll never catch it."
She added, almost as an aside, "But perhaps you can live faithfully." Her teeth chattered as a gust of icy wind flapped her wet dress around her legs.
"You got another book of holy words on you?" she added.
"No," said Oates, still shocked. He thought, "My God, if she ever finds a religion, what would come out of these mountains and sweep across the plains? My God, I just said, my God."
"A book of hymns, maybe?" said Granny.
"No."
"A slim volume of prayers suitable for every occasion?"
"No, Granny Weatherwax."
"Damn."
Granny slowly collapsed backwards, folding up like an empty dress. He rushed forward and caught her before she landed in the mud. One thin white hand gripped his wrist so hard that he yelped. Then she relaxed and sagged in his grasp. Something made Oates look up. A hooded figure sat on a white horse a little way away, outlined in the faintest blue fire.
"Go away!" he screamed. "You be gone right now, or...
He lowered the body onto some tufts of grass, grabbed a handful of mud and flung it into the gloom. He ran after it, punching wildly at the shape that was suddenly no more than shadows and curling mist. He dashed back, picked up Granny Weatherwax, slung her over his shoulder, and ran on downhill. The mist behind him formed a shape on a white horse. Death shook his head.
"It wasn't even as if I said anything," he said.
Waves of black heat broke over Agnes, and then there was a pit, and a fall into hot, suffocating darkness. She felt the desire. It was tugging her forward like a current.